Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
Thank you, Brother Dearman, and glad to have you along with us here as we begin a brand new course of topic of study today. Here on Reading the Word, my name is Justin Reed. Honored to be the pulpit minister there for the Arlington Church of Christ. Hope you can join us at any and all of our upcoming worship services. You'd be our welcomed and honored guest, and I truly do mean that. Even let you come sit with me if you want to. Now that's how much I think of you for spending some time with me today. This is program 113 on our program series here. It's called Contentment to Completeness. Contentment to Completeness. We're going to be in the book of Philippians, if you will. Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to focus on everybody's favorite verse, right? Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If you want to study any of these lessons again, you can anytime online at readingtheword.net. That's R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Simply click on where it says the radio program. Once you do, you can find this one. It's 113 is the program number. You can find the 112 that preceded on there and study them anytime. Play them online or download them, whatever the case may be. Use them in a classroom setting, whatever. If it will help you and those around you be more faithful to God, that's why they're online, and I'd appreciate you using them for that measure. I want us to look at the book of Philippians for the time we have allotted before us today, and then we're going to wind up in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. But one of the best ways, dear friends, to study God's Word is to get it in context. And to get it in context, especially if you're in the New Testament and you're in one of the epistles, you've got to figure out, well, where have I heard of this city before? And as we look at the letter to the Philippians, that's the city of Philippi. Now, Paul comes into the city of Philippi there on his second missionary journey in the 16th chapter of Acts, meets a woman named Lydia, a woman of Thyatira, a seller of purple. She and some women were down by the river praying and worshiping God. He goes and preaches. They heard, believed, repented, confessed, and were baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins. They beseech that Paul would stay with them for a little while. He does. He goes into the city of Philippi proper, little Rome, if you will, colony of Rome, kind of a model little Rome. As Paul is there, there is a woman, or a damsel, I should say, a young woman, who is possessed with a spirit. And the spirit is bothering Paul more than bothering other people. Paul and Silas there, Timothy as well on this missionary journey. And so Paul commands for that spirit to come out, which was good for the woman, bad for the owners of the woman. It seemed that she was in an enslaved relationship where those that owned her profited off of her ability to call forth this demon, to prophesy, to make predictions about people that would come true or have a bearing on their life. And so basically it would go, if you want the demon to say something, you got to cough up some pocket change, right? Some jingle money. And they'll be glad to. So those owners of this woman go to the government officials and say these men are causing a ruckus. Now, they've also lost their livelihood, but they're causing a ruckus. Paul and Silas are arrested. In Acts chapter 16, verse 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas are in stocks in prison, and they're praising God. I don't know too many people that could be arrested and then sit in prison and not be upset about it. Instead, use that to sing praises to God. I don't know what songs they sang, but as they're singing at midnight, one of the seven recorded earthquakes in Scripture occurs, and all the doors are loosed. And there's a jailer. We call him the Philippian jailer. He finds out that he was asleep. He finds out that the doors are open, and he takes his sword. He's ready to fall upon his sword. He is moments from death, because if any of the prisoners are escaped, he would be killed anyways, and he'd rather kill himself than be killed. And out of the darkness, Paul cries out, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And the jailer commands for a light. Can't believe that none of the prisoners are escaped, and he wants to know more about these two. No doubt he heard them praying and singing praises to God, so he calls for them to come out, and he says, "Men and brethren, what shall I do to be saved?" And Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus, all thy house, and thou shalt be saved. But belief alone is not enough, dear friends, because then he expounds unto him the word of God, and immediately, within the same hour, he washed their stripes. That's the idea of repentance. See, he heard the gospel, he believed it, he repented. I know he had to confess that Jesus was Christ, the Son of the living God. And then upon that confession, the Philippian jailer was baptized. But don't walk away from the story of the Philippian jailer just by simply believing that all you have to do is believe, because if all you have to do is believe, then why in the world did Paul and Silas preach Jesus unto him? And why in the world was the jailer baptized if all you have to do is believe? See, it's all connected. Paul and Silas, they stay with that man, and then they have to leave, have to go on their way. Now, some time will pass before Paul writes the letter to those at Philippi. He is writing in prison. Once again, Paul was imprisoned a lot for the cause of Christ. He imprisoned a lot as well, so then he is spending a lot of time in prison. And we think of Philippians as a joyous letter, because it is. I mean, it really is. But hope actually appears more times in the word joy, but it is just oozing with confidence, with joy in Christ from a man who is sitting there. He's more under house arrest than just in prison. But Paul is there and writes to this church that he had spent some time in their city. That's kind of a background on the city of Philippi. We need to take us a quick little break. Brother Jim Dearman's going to invite you to services at the Arlington Church of Christ. Would love for you to come join us. When we return, we're going to look at contentment to completeness in Philippians 4 and verse 13 here on Reading the Word.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
And we're back. Appreciate that, Brother Dearman, and would love for you to come join us anytime you can at the Arlington Church of Christ. If you're just now joining us, my name is Justin Reed, and we are Reading the Word. And if you want to study any of this lesson, again, you can do that anytime online at readingtheword.net, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Click on where it says the radio program. This is program 113, Commitment to Completeness, and you can study them anytime that you have the opportunity. We're talking about Philippians chapter 4 and just gave a very brief, hope that whetted your whistle at least, to go back and study more of Paul's missionary journeys and his time in the city of Philippi, his prison epistles as well. That's what we call this one since he's in prison. Philippians chapter 4, let's begin in verse 4. We're going to wind up verse 13, but look at verse 4. Paul says, rejoice. Now, he's been commending those he's been working with. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Once again, a man who is in prison, telling us that we should rejoice in the Lord, be happy in the Lord. He says, let your moderation be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. Don't be just making a fool, but live the life you should while you're rejoicing. Be careful for nothing, verse 6. That's a nice way of saying don't worry. Don't be anxious, some other translations render that. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So we must talk to God, let him know what's going on, being thankful for what we have and for the opportunity to approach him. And verse 7, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, how wonderful is that peace which passes all understanding. When there are times we don't know what's going on, yet we rely fully upon God, and that peace just comes over, knowing that I'm doing what the Lord has said, knowing that I'm doing my best, live faithful unto him. Oh, what a wonderful feeling, is it not? Now notice, he begins to sum it up, verse 8, finally, brethren, personal. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Not worldly, not sinful, lustful, wicked, but good, true, honest, just, pure, and lovely. That's what we should be focusing on, dear friends. Put good in, get good out. These things, verse 9, which ye have both learned and received and heard, seen in me, do them. Paul says, I did them when I was there. Follow my example. That way the peace of God shall be with you. I rejoice, Lord, greatly, that now at the last your care of me has flourished again. They were helping Paul, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak, watch this, in respect of want. I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how to abound. I know how abased. I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and be hungry, both to be abound and suffer need. He said, I can be high, I can be low. Watch this, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, don't take that out of context like it's so easy to do. But if you notice the context, it's because of Christ, he can do these things. He can have the peace that passes all understanding. He can rejoice. He can be anxious for nothing. He can think on these good things because of Christ. Let's dissect this verse. Verse 13, there's five sections in it. Contentment to completeness. Number one, I can. Well, that's positive, isn't it? That means I can do something. I don't have to wait on you. I don't have to wait on some kind of external outside force. I can. I'm positive. That's something I can do. Notice. Do all things. That's passionate. Putting passion, effort, work in that. Do all things. Caring about the work. Wanting to do good labor before the Lord. Offering it up to Him to be accepted. I can, number one, do all things, number two. Look at number three, through Christ. Well, that's possessive. That means Christ is mine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to Him I now resign, I have been redeemed. A song we sing in the songbooks. Through Christ, He owns me. It makes me think of what Paul said in Galatians 2 and 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Through Christ, that is possessive. Number four, by the way, they all start with P, if you haven't noticed. Number one, do all things, too. Through Christ, number three. Number four, which strengtheneth. That's powerful. Be powerful. There's power that comes from Christ. Now, you don't get superhuman strength like Samson in the Old Testament had, but there's power. Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, the Jew first, also to the Greek. That power, same word that we get TNT explosives from today, dear friends. Who strengtheneth? Well, I get the ultimate power. It's the same power that raised up Jesus from the dead and the same power that spoke the world into existence. But finally, number five. Number one, I can. Number two, do all things. Three, through Christ. Number four, which strengtheneth. Number five is me. M-E, that's me. That's personal. I can be personal. You know, Jesus Christ died upon the cross for me. And that's a statement we all should say. Jesus Christ died upon the cross for you. That's personal. He didn't just go up there to die for somebody I've never met. He died for me, the person I know this the best in this whole life. That should make it a personal relationship between me and Him, because He was willing to die for me. Take upon the whole sins of the world, and I live in the world, therefore they're my sins. Well, my sins personally held Christ to the cross. Yours as well, dear friends. When we talk about contentment, Paul was very content, wasn't he? To being complete. Notice this, I can be positive, number one. Do all things, that's being passionate, number two. Number three is through Christ, that's possessive. Number four, who strengtheneth, that's being powerful. And number five, that's me, that's being personal. Being personal. I want you to notice that we close out here in Philippians 4 and verse 18. But I have all and abound. I am full. I've received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. It was an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. When we do what God wants us to do, when we work on being positive, passionate, possessive, powerful, and personal, and we live our lives as a service to Him, then it becomes a sweet-smelling savor, a sacrifice well-pleased unto God, and He fulfills all our needs. Dear friends, I appreciate you being with us on our time allotted today, and I hope this lesson has been as beneficial for you as it has been for me. Hope you can join us any chance you may have there at the Arlington Church of Christ. And if you want to study this lesson again, any chance you may have, do so at readingtheword.net. That's READING, readingtheword.net. And click on where it says the radio program. Find 113 program number, Contentment to Completeness. I do appreciate you being with us. We'll do it all again, Lord willing, same time next week. So hope to see you then. May the good Lord bless you and may He keep you. Please continue to pray. Thank you for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.